This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I want you to know that we work around the clock to try to put a good show on for you. Last night, Nicole and I were messaging, texting, setting things up for today's show. I was going into physical therapy. We're getting things for guests lined up. I come out of PT. She's sending me other messages. It's just, it's quite a scene. Quite a scene what we've got to do. So Nicole said, hey, why are you at physical therapy? And I said, even though this might be the most humiliating story I've ever told in my life, I said, I'll save it for when we're on the air. Are you excited for this, Nicole?
Absolutely. You didn't tell me it was humiliating.
It's humiliating. Why I'm at physical therapy right now. And it's also a story of the ravages of time. You know, Nicole, back in the day, I used to play basketball for 4 hours a day. And, you know, I'm kind of a little guy. Back then, I was not just short. I was a little skinny guy. But I was pretty quick. So I'd drive to the hoop. And the big guys, you know, they always try to send a message when you drive to the hoop. And they put you down. And I'd go down. I'd get smacked to the floor more times than I could count. And I'd always get up. But I could play 4 hours, you know, pretty tough, rough and tumble basketball. It's no problem. I loved it. It's my greatest passion, you know, for side activities. It's my greatest passion in life, right? So do you remember a few weeks ago we got on the free throw shooter from Redmond?
Were you working? A couple weeks ago? I don't think I was working that day.
Oh, you weren't working? Oh, you don't even know this story then?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, when you were on one of your many vacations, I saw a story about this guy in Redmond. He's 81 years old. And he sounded a lot like me. He loves numbers. He loved playing basketball. And when he got into his 60s, he couldn't just keep playing the full court game that he had loved his entire life. So when he turned 66, one day he was at the gym at his athletic club, just, you know, getting in a workout. And he saw a basketball sitting on the basketball court at his gym over at the Redmond Athletic Club, I think it was. And he went in, he shot a free throw, and he just thought, I'll see how many out of 100 I can make. And then he went home because he loves numbers, and he kept track on a spreadsheet. And then the next day, he shot 100. And then he shot 200, 300, 500. And so every day, he shoots hundreds of free throws, this guy. And, he gets a lot of steps in. Because, multiple hundreds many times. And then a few years ago, he found this guy who wrote the book. The best free throw shooting form, the best book ever written, the guy, older guy who lives in Florida. And he got hold of him. He was in the phone book. And he called him up, said, hey, my wife and I are coming to Florida. Can I come by, have you autograph your book, and just talk shooting free throws with you? And he stops by this guy's house in Florida. And he said, this guy has mentored me. So anyway, my new buddy in Redmond, on his 82nd birthday coming up in August, he will shoot his 1,000,000th free throw.
I just can't believe he keeps track.
He does. He's got a day-by-day spreadsheet, and he's making about 94%, which is mind-blowing.
That is. But he's got calves of steel.
Just everything. You get a lot of steps in when you chase down 100 free throws, your own rebound, all that. So after the show, he and I start texting each other. And I said, you know, that guy in Florida wanted to be your mentor. Would you be my mentor? I said, how about you come over to my house? I've got a nice, good-sized basketball court here. I said, would you come over to my house? He goes, well, yeah, but You know, when there's breeze involved, you can't hit as high a percent. I go, I understand, but you know, let's just anyway. So he and I've, you know, kind of become buddies. We're going to get together and shoot. So here's my story, Nicole. So a week and a half ago, I was out shooting with my daughter and her boyfriend. They'd stopped by the house. We were just taking shots. And we left a basketball on the court. And the next day, I saw a basketball sitting on my court. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to shoot 100 free throws. And it was kind of a windy day. But still, I thought my percentage was pathetic. I made 75 out of 100. Which in the wind, I guess, isn't bad. But I was hoping to be mid-80s. That's where I used to be. Mm-hmm. Next morning, that night, I can't sleep because my shoulder is trashed.
You got to work your way up.
From shooting free throws! I did
a repetitive process, or it's a repetitive action you're doing 100 times without any warm-up.
Right, and I haven't been using that. I guess it's a tendon more than a muscle
right.
that I did. So, I thought I didn't know what I'd done. So I had to go to my my friend, a good friend of mine's an orthopedic doctor. And I went to his office and he told me what it was. And then he said, "Yeah, you got to go to physical therapy." So now I have to go to physical therapy. But Nicole, it's because I shot free throws. This is so wrong. What happens to the human body when you get a little bit older?
That's not fair.
It's not fair. It should be the exact opposite.
Are you allowed to shoot free throws right now? Can you, you know, do 20 a day?
No, it'd be stupid. No, I've got a bunch of isometric and lifting weights. And no, I have to rehab it. But just the realization that shooting free throws is now a body-altering activity. It's just embarrassing. So that's why I had to go to PT.
Okay. Time. So are we doing like once a week for a while?
Yeah, I did twice this last week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So pathetic. Why didn't God? I mean, I think our God is a perfect God. I really do. But why didn't he start us out with failing memories and busted down? No.
Failing. You don't remember much when you're 6 months. I mean, except for you.
I do. No, you should have started us out with failing memories and broken down bodies. And then you start to get a little bit more of that body back. And then when you're like 50 and 60, you're in peak physical condition. And then you die?
And then you die at peak physical condition?
No. Well, you just as we do now, you go back into diapers, and then you retreat into your mother's womb from where he will bring you up to paradise.
You're just describing the plot of Benjamin Button now, Dory.
I've never seen Benjamin Button.
And that's a movie about someone who's born and his life goes in reverse.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah, the way you said it is creepy, though. Don't say that.
What do you mean?
You go to your mother's womb as a fit 65-year-old?
No, not a fit 65-year-old. As a shrinking 85-year-old who's now returning to baby size.
Okay.
But maybe you should watch Benjamin Button before you make that wish, Dory.
Yeah.
Well, why? Why can't my... I don't need to follow movie scripts, do I? For my dreams? Okay, anyway, that's what's going on with me.
I think it's already been written. It doesn't go well.
Oh, okay.
That's what he's saying.
Instead, it's
anyway,
opposite.
Sorry about your arm.
It's my shoulder. It's my tail. Mm-hmm. But it's the opposite. You know, Shakespeare said it best. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances. And one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant, mewling and puking in his nurse's arms. That's all. Ew. I have to say. I don't want to say the rest.
There for a while. I was going to be like, that was deep. No, and then it got weird.
Well, and then, no, I memorized this when I was in high school drama. And then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then the lover sighing like furnace with a woeful ballad made to his mistress's eyebrow. Then a soldier full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honor, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation, even in the cannon's mouth. Right. Should
we
I stop?
Done? Yes, please. Yeah,
okay, all right. It's like showing they can still remember stuff.
I mean, it's impressive.
Body's breaking down, but still got the mind.
That's all that matters, really.
Yeah, that's what my wife says. Okay, can we get into the Fast 15 here?
Please.
Okay, so we'll talk about this a lot more at 2 o'clock, and we will undoubtedly talk about it a little bit with Brandy Cruz as well. But Seattle Pride. So the most bigoted people that you will ever know are the people who make up Seattle Pride. You know, they talk all the time about diversity and equity and inclusion. But Seattle Pride, the people who make it up, they're the most monochromatic, inequitable, bigoted people you will ever, ever meet. And it's interesting that they have a rainbow as their symbol when they do want to be the most monochromatic of all organizations, monochromatic in thought, monochromatic in your choice of job. So they have told the Seattle police, and there are about 100 Seattle cops who self-identify as LGBTQ. And they are noble servants. They protect things like parades, even. And they said, you can march in Seattle Pride if you don't wear your police uniform. Because some people are triggered by a police uniform. And so one of the many bigoted, minded people on this issue who make up this organization, Crystal Marks, talked to our news partners at Cairo 7.
They also need to recognize the privilege that they hold. They get to take off their uniform every day. We don't get to take off our queerness.
Mm. And she also says that the masses have spoken.
Over 1,300 people responded, and the vast majority of folks shared with us that if there were going to be police marching in the parade, they would prefer that they would be out of uniform and in plain clothes.
I honestly don't know how this is legal or constitutional, because Seattle Pride uses the public streets. And for them to tell somebody that they are not welcome to be part of their parade if they wear their work uniform. I mean, I assume nurses? Can queer nurses march? Can queer judges? Queer construction workers, can they wear their work clothes? But a queer cop cannot. So I truly, when you're using public streets for this event, I truly don't know how this is constitutional. I'll talk with Brandy about this more because, you know, where's Bruce Harrell? Where's Jay Inslee on this? Where are they denouncing intolerance and bigotry and hatred that makes up Seattle Pride? How about their sponsors? You know, Jason Rance wrote about, you know, Alaska Air and Starbucks, and they have all these corporate sponsors. Are all of them okay with intolerance and discrimination against police officers? Because, man, if somebody's busting into a Starbucks store, they'll call 911 and hope the cops show up. But they support an organization that has hateful bigotry towards cops? But that is the intolerance of Pride. If you stray any way, professionally, ideologically, in any way from what they mandate, they're not about diversity and equity and inclusion. They're the exact opposite. Up next in the big lead.
This is the Fastest 15, Dory.
Oh, dang it. Andrew, if I didn't have you, I'd have nothing. Okay, well, Fast 15. Sorry, I'm all worked up today. Nicole, you told me about this story with Alexa?
Yeah, it creeped me out immediately.
So Amazon's Alexa is developing a program that will allow you to speak with dead relatives in the dead relatives' voice. And they say that if you have, you know, voicemails from people, you can upload that, and they're working on a way for Alexa. They call it a cutting-edge new feature that will allow you to speak to the dead. Ugh. It'll channel the deceased, developing technology like a digital seance.
Would
you
like
want
that
to do that?
No, and I want to put it in my will that you're not allowed to talk to me either on Alexa. That's creepy. And I feel like it opens up possibilities.
Wait, just
of
me?
Having... Well,
so
anybody.
Your will that just me can talk to you?
No, oh, okay. Because I think that opens... I mean, then Alexa could maybe have you say something that you wouldn't say if you were really alive, or I don't... It's just creepy.
It's kind of like the celebrities who write in their contracts that they don't want their likeness used after they die.
Yeah,
the hologram.
Yeah,
the hologram concerts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I lost one of the most important people in my life about 2 months ago. And there would be absolutely nothing comforting or soothing about talking to some Amazon-created digital replication of her voice.
No.
That was one of the... Stop it, Amazon!
I want to know if there's anybody out there that thinks this is a good idea and why.
Oh, look at that. That's our text question of the day. Would you like to speak to your dead relatives and loved ones in their voice? Okay, yeah, text us, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. That is, as Andrew has reminded me, your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
I said my mind was sharp, but I can't even keep track. Big lead, fast 15. Brandi Cruz joins us next here in the Dory Monson Show.
Hot time to come to Jesus. You got skeletons in your closet, spitting all over your face. Every little lie stacked so high, can't keep your story straight. I don't know how they got there. It's getting under my skin. Got skeletons in your closet, and I got bones to pick with them all.
Well, that music can only mean one thing. Brandi Cruz is about to dig some skeletons out of some closet. It is time for our weekly visit. You can hear Brandy's independent journalistic work at patreon.com/undivided. Brandi Cruz joins us. Good afternoon, Brandi.
That's my name. Did you forget my name?
I didn't know how I was going to address you. I had a couple things that was going through my mind. I said, I'll just go with the name.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's me. Okay. That's my name.
Hey,
thank you. Hi.
What I'm trying to say is howdy.
Howdy, friend.
All right, so lots of stuff going on. In my one of my top stories today was Seattle Pride telling Seattle cops that they cannot attend the parade in uniform, which is just outrageous on every level. But I wanted to get your take on it.
I'm actually having this personal existential crisis about this because I have a lot of friends who are gay. Pride weekend is, in my opinion, one of the funnest weekends of the year. I haven't missed a Pride parade in years, besides when there wasn't one because of the pandemic. And I have plans to go on Sunday. But this is really bothering me. And I'm just kind of debating with myself whether, and I know there's a lot of people in the Seattle Pride organization or whatever who would not care if I didn't go, you know, but I am really debating whether to take a stand and not attend, because I just have this real problem with it becoming, you know, this weekend that's supposed to be about inclusion becoming about exclusion for the sake of petty political reasons of the organizers. You know, and they're saying, Pride was born out of the Stonewall riots when police, yes, treated gay people horribly. But what happened to celebrating progress? And you've got a police agency in a major city that wants to be part of this wonderful celebration, and you're turning them away. And that bothers me immensely.
Well, you say you have a lot of friends who are gay. You also have great connections in law enforcement, and so yeah, you got two groups of people that are opposed. The thing about this is, yes, we always hear about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and Pride has always said that's what we're all about, and that's a lie. They are the antithesis of that. They're about being monochromatic and inequitable and bigoted, and why people are supporting that is beyond me. They don't represent the gay community. They represent some bigots. And that's what... That's the problem that I have with all this.
Well, and I want more people to speak up. I mean, I know that my friends personally think it's ridiculous that Seattle police officers are prohibited from participating in the parade in uniform, my gay friends. And I know there are more people who feel that way, who are common sense. I think it bothers me that, you know, the city of Seattle and the city council and the mayor haven't spoken out and said, you're not going to discriminate against our employees. Like, that's not fair. And so I wish more people would take a stand. And then you go back and Seattle Pride, remember, they refused Amazon's money, saying Amazon couldn't be part of, you know, couldn't be a sponsor because they donated to Republicans. Well, some of Pride's other remaining sponsors also made donations to Republicans. But the point wasn't about taking a stand against Amazon. It was about vilifying Amazon. It was about a totally unrelated political agenda that has nothing to do with Pride. And I think the organizers need to be ashamed of themselves. And they certainly don't represent, you know, everybody in the city. And I wish more people would take a stand and say, listen, you're not doing anything for us. This is about you and your personal political agenda.
Well, there's another issue, just to kind of build on what you were saying, because turning down money, they're a private organization. If they want to turn down money right. from Amazon, I have no problem with that. But this is a march on public streets. And it seems to me that this should be illegal. In fact, I'm guessing that it is flat out illegal to tell a group of people that based on what they wear, they're not allowed to participate in a public march on city streets. That is unconstitutional. But I'm guessing we're not going to hear Bruce Harrell or Jay Inslee or Fergie Ferguson. I'm guessing we're not going to hear any of them say that we're not going to allow this unconstitutional behavior because they are more concerned with sucking up to the, you know, Pride group than they are with protecting the Constitution and, more importantly, protecting just the rights and dignity of police officers that they always pretend to care about, but all their actions show the exact opposite.
Yeah, and I don't think occupation is a protected class of people, but these are, remember, gay police officers. And so you're discriminating against a certain type of gay person, which to me just seems, again, counter to the day, but that you could also argue that that's discrimination. And so, yeah, I would like to see city leaders stand up for them and say, no, this is about love and inclusion, and it's supposed to be about acceptance, and you can't turn away a segment of our employees because you don't like what they do for a living. It just seems ridiculous to me. So yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go on Sunday. I'm having a hard time with deciding because I really want to be there to support my friends and to show that I'm an ally. But I also don't want to support an organization that is making the day about something that it's not, exclusion.
Most importantly, if there is a Village People tribute group at Pride,
stop.
Are they going to yank that cop off the stage? That's what I want to know.
Okay, you get to the bottom of that and you let me know.
No, I truly want to know. I mean, what else? Can the firefighter be there? The Indian chief? I mean, who in the Village People's excluded now?
I don't think the Indian chief is allowed anymore, right? I think that's cultural appropriation.
I have no idea. I've stopped paying much attention to the Village People over the last 35 years.
Oh, okay, good.
You're going to be hosting this show tomorrow.
Oh, am I?
How exciting is that?
I didn't realize. Oh, okay, I'll be there.
Yeah, and I hate missing Fridays, but I had two girls that I coached from kindergarten through senior year of high school, which just, you know, unheard of, 13 years. But the high school gig opened up right when this group got to high school. And one of those two is getting married.
Oh,
now,
awesome.
It is so beautiful to watch this. But so, yeah, so that's what I'm doing tomorrow. So what are you going to do with the big show?
Well, first of all, I'm really excited to do awesome audio clips of the week. Of the week. So I get to judge what you selected throughout the week, which is really, really exciting to me. And maybe I'll have an answer for your listeners tomorrow as to what I've decided about Seattle Pride.
Yeah,
I also know we're waiting on a bunch of really important Supreme Court decisions. They've just been dropping one after another. And so I anticipate we'll have some more tomorrow, probably before the show. So we'll be covering whatever comes down.
Well, and you left out the two big ones. At the beginning of the 2 o'clock hour, Foghat and a 230 dead mouse.
Okay, sorry. I was excited about, can't I be excited about awesome audio clips of the week?
Yeah, that too. The Supreme Court thing, we're expecting maybe the Bremerton praying football coach, Joe Candy's going to come down. Last week when I was on your podcast, you asked me if I had a liberal box. And I guess that's one issue where I'm considered on the left, because I, as a Christian, as a public high school coach, I am against the coach praying with kids. And a lot of conservatives and a lot of Christians don't like my attitude on that. But I'm just being honest. I wouldn't want a Muslim coach praying with my girls. And if that's how I feel about that, then I have to be consistent and say, so let's keep the Christian coaches away from praying with kids, and let's keep that a more private ritual.
Yeah, you and I agree on this, and I actually think the court will agree as well. And there's this issue of whether...
Oh, I don't.
You don't? Oh,
no,
I do.
I think it's going to come down in favor of Joe Kennedy.
Well, I know that there's been some expansion when it comes to religion. I think that the central issue is, you know, whether students felt compelled to have to sort of participate. And so I do wonder what they'll say about that. But you and I are in agreement on this one.
Yeah. And if that decision comes down, I had conversations with Joe Candy a couple of times on the show about this and about my disagreement with him in pursuing this. So if the decision comes down, Nicole could probably find some of those cuts with me and the coach. But yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing. And there could be some other ones that come. Any chance Roe v. Wade comes down tomorrow?
I mean, I would think so. I thought they were trying to get all these decisions out as fast as possible because of the climate around the court, safety issues, and not to drag it out for an unruly amount of time. So you have my word and your listeners have your word that whatever comes down tomorrow, we will be all over it the big show.
Well, and Roe v. Wade affects nothing in Washington. It won't change anything because it's just a states' rights issue. The one that came down earlier today on concealed carry, people are all hysterical about that. That changes nothing here in Washington, where we're already a concealed carry state. And I haven't heard enough perspective locally from people. I know you always provide that. But just the hysteria about things that don't affect us at all here in Washington.
Yeah, and I mean, you can have people who care about what's happening in the rest of the country. I understand that. I'm not saying people have to live on an island and only care about things happening in our state. But what gets to me is when politicians or people with a voice like in the press try to convince people that they need to be worried about these things. You know, you have Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson who'll come out and say, we'll never let Texas-style abortion laws come here. And it's like, well, we know, you know, so you're just trying to rile up. What they're trying to do is scare people into voting for Democrats. You know, it's like a boogeyman. And so that's what bothers me.
All right. So Brandi Crews will be sitting in for the entire 3 hours tomorrow, and you can see her work. Anything in particular on Undivided that people should listen for?
Well, yeah. I mean, we expanded all of our content, and so we have expanded shows on Fridays. You were my first guest last week on Fridays with Friends.
Yes.
And this week, I have our friend Jason Rantz, who's going to be my guest on Fridays with Friends. And so we're talking about all sorts of good stuff and political issues. And he was the second guest. You were the first. Number one.
He was second. All right, Brandi Crews, good to see your work. Patreon.com/undivided. And tune in tomorrow. She will be hosting this show from noon to 3. I'll be interested to hear your decision on your parade.
I know. I already bought an outfit. It's all colorful. I got sunglasses that are in the shape of hearts.
What would happen if you dressed up like a cop?
Oh, I don't think that. I think that's illegal.
I don't think so.
I think that's
a free person in a free life.
I think that's an underlying crime.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll tune in tomorrow, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Have fun at your wedding.
So you can see Brandi's work. Patreon.com/undivided. And we have lots more to come. This is the Dory Monson Show. Rolls on. I was born in the morning.
It's just a dog, right? From the cab of my truck to the foot of my
bed. Just a dog. I saw a story today that broke my heart. For the 81 million people who voted for Joe Biden, maybe you don't care about the wide open southern border and the gas prices and the inflation and the family budgets that have been busted by his absolute mindless running of the country. But maybe you'll feel guilty about this. All across the country, animal shelters are getting full because families' budgets are so busted that they are abandoning their dogs and cats. It is just heartbreaking. And since the shelters are getting full, they're finding more and more dogs and cats just dumped by the side of the road. It's clear that they've had a home. They appear to be in pretty well fed and in pretty good health, but they're finding abandoned dogs and cats everywhere too, because apparently in Joe Biden's economy, people have to prioritize because inflation has just taken so much of their family budget.
People call us every day wanting to surrender their animal.
Before 11 o'clock Tuesday morning,
we have a lot of kittens right now.
Julie Skellinger received three calls of people wanting to surrender their pets. It's becoming so common, they're almost out of space in their shelter to take them in.
And I'll tell you what, the B-roll on this TV news story, it shows the dogs in the shelter. And Nicole and I noticed the same shot. There's this one dog, and it's jumping, I'm almost hurling itself against the side wall of those cages they're in. And the worst part about adopting a dog from a shelter, which is all the dogs we've ever gotten, and you know, some people always talk about, yes, I always get shelter dogs. Like it's some noble thing. And it's just a personal thing. Everybody else can decide if they want to get a dog from a breeder or from a kennel. The worst part about it, though, is it takes several visits usually to find a dog that just, you know, it is a lifetime decision. Unless you have to abandon your dog. But it's a lifetime decision. And you take a lot of time to find a dog that just feels right. And, you know, like we met before Buddy, we met our previous dog, Star. Star was owned by one of my listeners, actually. And I'd mentioned that we were looking for a dog. And I said, don't try to give me your dog. But a listener contacted me. And their daughter had anorexia. Their daughter was a college student. And she had anorexia. And they get, I guess, people with eating disorders, puppies, because if they keep the dog on a feeding schedule, they're more likely to keep themselves. And we found Star. We got to Star when she was about 5 months old after she'd helped this girl save her life. And it was perfect. You just knew immediately. Perfection. Perfect fit. So anyway, but going to those shelters and seeing all those dogs hurling themselves around cages, that just breaks your heart. My goodness. All right. What do we got here, Andrew?
Some Luke Bryan.
Little boys grow up and dogs get old. Hey, that's like me. Okay, we're going to check the news. And then Big Lead of Two, next, here on the Dory Monson Show.
Still waiting right there when I got